This fall, get back in the game with EverPlay Sports and Social League, Columbia's home for fun, fitness, and friends. We've got leagues firing up all over town starting September 7th. Mushball softball at T.S. Martin Park, pickleball at Casey Pickleball Complex, turf soccer at Recreation Arena, indoor volleyball at Tri-City Leisure Center, bowling at Lucky Strikes, sand volleyball at Pollywogs, soccer at B Avenue and Bray Park, cornhole at Jay's Corner, hardball softball at Pacific Park, and kickball at M Avenue and B Avenue, including our same team pitch option. Kick it all off at the fall kickoff party, Thursday, September 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jay's Corner. We're giving away a ton of random raffles, and it's the perfect chance to meet your teammates before the season starts. Register by August 21st to dodge the late fees and score some limited edition fall league shirts. Hit everplaysocial.com to lock in your spot. EverPlay Sports and Social, play hard, party harder. Hey everybody, Barrett from the All About Nothing podcast. Look, one of the things we love to do is shout out small businesses doing cool things, and ZJZ Designs is one of them. They make these awesome seasonal and themed t-shirts, and they're not just eye-catching, they're high quality. I've ordered a few, and they've held up in the wash after wash. Plus, it feels good knowing I'm supporting a creative shop, not just feeding the Amazon machine. So if you want something fresh, funny, and made with a little extra heart, hit up ZJZDesigns.com. You'll definitely find something there to love. ZJZDesigns.com. Check them out.
The All About Nothing podcast may have language and content
that isn't appropriate for some. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, Nothingers, to the All About Nothing podcast. This is episode number 265. I'm Barrett Gruber, joined by Mr. Zach King. Welcome, Zach.
I'm here.
Yeah. I didn't put you, I did put you last. How could I have introduced you? You know what? I could have said, welcome, Nothingers, to the All About Nothing podcast. It's episode number 265. Zach King is here, as well as myself, Barrett Gruber. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to
confuse
things.
People are lucky we showed up, and you should be grateful.
The likelihood is that I will, because as trained as I am for this intro now, the likelihood is that if we mix it up too much, it's going to throw me into I'm going to have a stroke is what's going to happen. Yeah.
We put a question mark on the teleprompter.
Please subscribe and share the show. That's how we get new listeners. Please also consider supporting the show financially by visiting theallaboutnothing.com and becoming an official member, proudly calling yourself a true nothinger. We'll have more details on that at the end of the show. If you can't do that, please give us a 5-star review, a like, and follow us across all social media. You can find links on theallaboutnothing.com. Real quick, before we jump into whatever it is we're discussing today, the Soda City Comic Con 2025 is coming up August 23rd and 24th. You've seen them on screen, and now you can meet them in person. Soda City Comic Con again. We are taking over the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center August 23rd, 24th. Katie Sackhoff, Starbuck, Bo-Katan, Sci-Fi royalties, John Heater of Napoleon Dynamite and Blades of Glory, as well as a bunch of different awkward movies. Caitlin Roebruck is Minnie Mouse and Disney Magic brought to life. It's 2 days of fandom, cosplay, collectibles, and stars you love. Don't miss this chance to meet your screen heroes again. Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, August 23rd, 24th. SodaCityComicCon.com is where you need to go for tickets. They still have some VIP tickets available, so take advantage of that. We are going to have Caitlin Roebruck, she is going to be on the show here in a few weeks as well. We are going to have Donald Brock Jr. of the 2025 Soda City Comic Con. Zach has taken his earbuds out, so I'm assuming technical difficulties and the blinking. The blinking is how I really know something's going on. That's how I know. It's like I know you're
like my Twitch.
You're a hostage. You're a hostage to technology.
Something's going on there, and I don't want to talk about it right now.
Hey, real quick. So this episode, we were supposed to have Lee Johnson. We teased that Lee Johnson was going to be on the show. I told people after the success of the Heather Bauer interview that aired a couple weeks ago that Lee Johnson was going to be on. It was going to be a big deal. We're going to have Lee Johnson on. I'm going to keep saying the name over and over again. But Bill and I, Kimmler, had some text going back and forth, and I let him know that Lee Johnson wasn't going to make it onto our show this week, like we had planned. And we both started questioning potentially what was going on. I had heard some rumors that he had also missed out on another interview recently. And Bill went searching and did send me a little screen grab that apparently Lee Johnson has dropped out of the race already. Now, that is not hugely surprising. There are some fairly big names in the running for Democratic nomination for the Senate for the state of South Carolina, including Dr. Annie Andrews, also former presidential candidate and former Republican and former Congressman Joe Walsh is also running. But the state newspaper... Joe Walsh
from the Eagles.
Right. No, not Joe Walsh. I think I'll be honest with you. I think Joe Walsh from the Eagles has likely aged out of running for anything, but I'd still love to see
him. No, man, he'd be real good. Yeah. Rocky Mountain way.
The shocking thing about Lee Johnson's campaign, as short-lived as it was he did raise $67,000 after putting in his own $500,000 for his campaign, which I am shocked. Where did he spend $567,000? That is unbelievable to me.
Especially, I've never heard of him. Like, dude, if I have $567,000, like, make sure people have heard of you. You're going to have heard of me.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I ever ran for office like that, it's got to be grassroots. It's going to have to be all donations because I am not willing. I'm not willing to part with $500,000.
No,
it's not.
You know what he could have done? If you want people to know who you are, even if you're running for office, here's one off the top of the dome. He could have built a gigantic wiener and then shot himself out of the tip of it in the middle of downtown. And then parachuted down and said,
"No way,
I'm here, baby." And then, like, people would be like, "Did you hear about the guy who shot himself out of the tip of a wiener? He's running for office." Everyone would know who you are for like $100,000.
I don't want to take shots at Lee Johnson. I think that it takes a lot of courage to even put your name out there as a candidate. I'm disappointed we didn't get him on the show.
I was just giving suggestions here.
You were literally shooting wieners.
No, I mean, I said you shoot out of a tip of one in the middle of like downtown. People are going to talk. People are going to know who you are.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Want to thank Heather Bauer again for being on the podcast with us. That was absolutely the number of comments. And I don't know if you've seen them across Instagram and YouTube and things like that, but Heather Bauer was absolutely one
of where are you going? Were you making an amalgam of people?
It's not me if I don't screw somebody's name up. But Heather Bauer on the episode that we had a couple weeks ago, absolutely fantastic. Want to thank her again for coming on the show because, like I said, the number of comments from people just supporting her, talking about how much of a fighter she is and just the person that she is representing District 75 and all of South Carolina is just unbelievable. She was awesome. So we are definitely going to probably have her scheduled to come back on at some point here, probably before the end of the year, and maybe just let her just rant because that seems like it's probably the most fun. Well,
as long as she has like at least $67,000.
I am going to assume that to run that campaign for District 75 takes many, many more times the amount of money than $67,000. I'm guessing at least two or three times as much to run a campaign for that district. I mean, it's a very contested district. It has been at least during the two campaigns that she has won. But I imagine that campaign spends a lot of money. I'm guessing at least double $67,000. So,
well, if she would just go talk to some of those big billionaire PACs and pharmacy companies, and they got a lot of money as long as you do a couple things for them.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's what makes her awesome.
I was going to say, Heather strikes me as the type that absolutely is unwilling to take any money like that from super PACs or anything like that. It's all going to come from, the people she represents, maybe some outside the district, but I feel confident that whatever her future holds, even if she was being coy about not admitting the possibility that Jermaine Johnson might want her as a lieutenant governor in a matchup for governor, I think it's pretty outstanding, and she does a really good job. So,
yeah, she does.
That out of the way.
I was talking to somebody today about her, and I was like, literally, like, if I had to work with her, she would definitely be the kind of person that would get me, like, jazzed up to, like, do what we're going to do and have good ideas, be, like, a great leader.
Yeah. So. I was also going to say, so by the time this episode comes out, we will have had, we had Alex Avenger episode with him to promote the fall 2025 EverPlay Sports League. And all that they have going on. Want to see, Zach, are you all right if during this episode we do a little voiceover work that I can get some homework out of the way?
Sure. Can I do some?
Yeah. If you'd like to interact with this voiceover ad, people are going to get to hear how the sausage is made.
Disgusting.
Well, look, it's how the sausage is made, not how the sausage is uncased. Well, I have a little bit of a script here that I'm going to read. And Zach, if you just want to interrupt me, then that's par for the course. I'll let you do that.
That's how I get a shoe in. Yeah.
All right. So I already have a script written out, so I'm just going to read it verbatim and we'll see how this goes. All right. This fall, get back into the game with EverPlay Sports and Social League, Columbia's home for fun, fitness, and friends. We've got leagues firing up all over town starting September 7th. Mushball softball at T.S. Martin Park, pickleball at Casey Pickle Complex, turf soccer at Recreation Arena, indoor volleyball at Tri-City League.
Can we start over?
Yeah. Are you prepared now?
Yeah.
This fall, get back in the game with EverPlay Sports and Social League, Columbia's home for fun, fitness, and friends.
Or no friends.
We've got leagues firing up all over town starting September 7th. Mushball softball.
Not eighth.
Well, some of the leagues start on the 8th. Some of the leagues start on the 8th.
Not the 6th.
Yeah, definitely not the 6th. Not the 4th either. We're going to leave it. Mushball softball at T.S. Martin Park. Pickleball at Casey Pickleball Complex. Turf soccer at Recreation Arena.
Pickled balls.
Yeah.
Pickleball.
Although, I have seen some of the players.
Might have pickled balls.
Might. Turf soccer at Recreation Arena, indoor volleyball at Tri-Center Leisure Center, bowling at Lucky Strike, sand volleyball at Poliwag, soccer at B Avenue Bray Park.
Not Poliwag, the Pokemon.
Is Poliwag a legitimate Pokemon?
It is. You can Google it. It's
worth a Google. No idea. Soccer at B Avenue and Bray Park. Cornhole.
No one plays soccer.
That we call it football on this podcast.
That's right.
Cornhole at Jay's Corner, hardball, softball at Pack Park. That's Pacific Park. Kickball at M Avenue. Squishball. Kickball at M Avenue, B Avenue, and including the same team pitch option.
Not A Avenue.
Kick it at M Avenue, B Avenue. Same with including same pitch. But you know what? I am going to wind up having to do this by myself.
I don't know. I was trying to make it funny. I don't have anything.
No, you did. Yeah, I think you made it funny. Look, the important thing to note is that the kickoff of the fall kickoff party is Thursday, September 4th, 6 to 8 over at Jay's Corner. There'll be some giveaways and things like that. Chance to meet your teammates, get your shirts before the season, that sort of thing. So actually, I'm going to take that out. Man. I don't know that you'll get your shirts before the season. Likelihood is you'll get your shirts like the rest of us at the first game of the season. So.
The people who don't pay us are not going to be appreciative.
EverPlay Sports and Social, go to everplaysocial.com. Also, the 10th Masters of
Putt-Putt. Not .net.
Yeah, definitely not .net. EverPlaySocial.com. The 10th Masters of Putt-Putt is coming up on August 22nd. You can register or August 23rd, register by August 22nd because you'll want to make sure that you get in there. Masters of Putt-Putt, it's fun to do. I think I've done it 3 or 4 times now.
And if you're the master of Putt-Putt, it's as cool as telling people you have a podcast.
I can't deny that.
Here we are.
Yeah.
But Barrett, even though it's not cool, we're doing it, 6 years going now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I've been, this is my 8th year. You've been on it for 6 years. That's significant. Look.
I did my own even worse podcast for 7 years.
And we know people that started podcasts and have ended their podcasts. And we know people that have started several podcasts, or at least two podcasts, and have ended those podcasts in that time frame. So that speaks for something.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, when does this episode come out? Because I could certainly be ballsy enough to say that I know the results of the Best of Columbia. I just can't say that. I can't say what they are. I can just simply say that you and I know the results as far as we're concerned.
We do, but we can also beep it out.
That's true. So I'll just say, okay, let's do this. I want you to react very excited. I'm going to act and react to it very disappointedly. So okay, when we bleep it out,
no one will know.
Yeah. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, we.
Yes.
No, in fact, and then I'll have to bleep this part out too. We did get.
Yes. What? Yes. Yes.
I'm going to jump out of the window. I'm so excited.
My opinion of the whole thing is still that it's regardless of the outcome, it's still a so I will never get past that. You know, is what it is. And
now we're going to be like, you didn't even register. They didn't even get your email.
We forgot to get nominated.
Yeah. And hopefully you bleep that, because when you say it's a it kind of gives away the
thing. There's so much we have to bleep out now.
There's two things. Either we didn't win or we're part of the we are nothing if not.
There is plenty in the MAGA cult that would probably think that we're anyway. So
unlike the Epstein list, this won't disappear.
So let's talk about that. Donald Trump,
you give me your hot take, I'll give you my hot take.
Okay. Well, okay. Donald Trump ran a campaign saying that he would release the Epstein files, that under his administration, he would order the Department of Justice and the FBI to release the documents, including a potential client list. Now, he was a little coy about it during his interview with Fox News, where he said, well, you know, maybe not all of the Epstein list, because, you know, there's probably some information that isn't true and it could really hurt people. I'm paraphrasing, you know, so he gave probably himself
not true people in that list.
That's right. He gave himself an out. And then Pam Bondi back in February and back in March gave indications that she had the list on her desk and she was reviewing it, and that it was potentially something they were going to release. And then in the last, I guess by the time this episode comes out, well, okay, as of this recording, the Pam Bondi had come out about a week and a half ago saying that she was not going to release anything, that there was nothing to release, that there was no Epstein list. And the MAGAverse went ballistic. I mean, to the point where I have multiples of videos and reposts of those videos of people burning their MAGA flags, burning their MAGA hats. I've got videos of people admitting that Donald Trump definitely faked the assassination thing. Like these, you can go back in their videos and you can look to see just how MAGA they were. But now they don't trust him at all. They don't believe him. They don't believe the people that he put in there. You've got Kash Patel, the director of FBI, and that Bonardino guy. He's talking about he's going to quit because of the way Pam Bondi handled the whole thing. And it's like, fucking YouTube actor.
Did you whatever. Think that those were the set of words that triggered the anti-MAGA soldier? I don't like winter soldier words. I don't know what it is that... Was it Epstein list erased? Don't exist. Like, what the fuck was it? I didn't see this coming. Like, 17, they're all waterfall. Like, they're all of a sudden like, what the hell? What am I wearing? Like, there's so many of them.
honestly, like Bill Kimmler and I talked about it a little bit, that like, what if this is the thing that like finally takes Drumtown? And even now there are news articles out here indicating that Donald Trump's polls are just falling.
If it's not heart disease, it has to be this.
Alternet is reporting that right-wing media outlets, President Donald Trump is often depicted as someone who won the 2024 election by a landslide, and he still enjoys widespread popularity and is mainly opposed by the far left. But they are reporting that just 6 months into his office, his administration, that he now has a 55% disapproval rating. His approval rating has slipped all the way down to 41%.
He was already setting records.
But like we have. So technically in modern history, as far as polling goes, most presidents are still sort of in their honeymoon phase. Like even Biden was still above 50%. It wasn't but like 52 or 53, but he was still in the 50s at this point. And Donald Trump has already slipped down to 41%. I think he ended his first term at like 36% or something like that. Like, two-thirds of the country disapproves of you.
Yeah. His first year is dragging like a tailpipe too, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it feels like I feel like we're 2.5 years in already. Like,
it hurts.
Here's my hot take, Barrett. There was no fucking list. There's never been a fucking list. And now he's caught, not in a lie, but a truth. They were running on bullshit, just like, Epstein list. Let's throw that on there. Not having a clue, like, at all. And there was no list. Because if you're doing this shit, are you keeping a list, much less where anyone's going to find it? I think that the conspiracy theorists are now caught the tail that they were chasing. Like, and it was a nothing burger. I think that there is no list. And now the Trump administration is caught in a truth, like not even caught in a lie, just caught in the truth. Like, you fed this conspiracy theorist shit for so long. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein, absolutely. There's flight logs, there's other shit, but for a list of people that he's like, yep, I got them and the age of the people that they were with. Probably not.
So I don't know that the flight log we know exists. We know Donald Trump was on there multiple times, but we also know Bill Clinton was on there.
We also know Epstein had like 14 different contacts to get a hold of Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's super weird.
How many numbers do you have for me?
Because I had two. And then one time I FaceTimed that second one and some kid answered. And I was like, that's not Barrett.
So I was going to say, but you should have at least two because you have my personal and you have my, I would think you have my business as well. So the business is the one that I use for people for the podcast.
I don't have a myriad 14. Of numbers. Like, it's not on number one. I'm going to work my way through all 14.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You call either one of those numbers, it's coming directly to my phone. Like both numbers come to my phone.
Right.
I just try to keep track of them because when it pops up, it says whether they're calling on the business line or they're calling on my personal line. But so 14 almost sounds like we're making that number up, but legitimately that is what Epstein acknowledged, that was the number of phone number. He had Melania's number. I learned today that the first time that Donald Trump and Melania had sex was on Epstein's plane on the way to Epstein Island. My question is, what does Donald Trump need to go to Epstein Island for if he's already got a 20-something-year-old, you know, supermodel?
Who was that girl's testimony in like 2015 or 16? And she was talking about being on Epstein Island and there was an orgy going on and Trump was there and Trump wanted a handy.
Yeah, I do remember. I do remember.
Like, no. You better go do that. And she was like, fine, I'll do it. And she went to go do it. And the guy's like, no one touches Trump's dong without a glove on. Like,
wow. Yeah, I do remember that. But see, the craziest part about all of that is that, like, we already have, like, that was court documents.
That's what it was.
This was an individual that gave a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, she's still waiting on the settlement money from the victim's settlement from Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out recently was the whole Ghislaine Maxwell, who is currently serving a 20-year sentence, has
Trump wished her well, so she's doing great.
Right. Yeah. Well, in prison. But okay. So go back to Pam Bondi says there is no client list, which means that there isn't a list of individuals that Jeffrey Epstein kept in touch with that were his clients in this, basically this underage sex trafficking. And if that client list doesn't exist, then ultimately what Pam Bondi is saying, that when you get all the way to the end of it, is that Ghislaine Maxwell, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, that is in prison for no reason, which means that she should have, there should be a new trial.
Well, for no, her. she's in prison for sex trafficking. That's different though.
But what was she sex trafficking if there was no client list?
Client list doesn't, what does that matter?
But who, what's the evidence? Who is she servicing with this?
Okay. So say there's no client list. You could have gotten names of there could be other evidence of people that were there. It's not the, you know, all encompassing list of people, but you did catch people and her sex trafficking. I mean, even witness testimony of the women that were girls, let's call them girls, cause that's
right.
Sounds like what they were, but like being sex trafficked, it has nothing to do with like some comprehensive list. She can still be a sex trafficker. I mean, how many sex traffickers get arrested and they're like, who, give me the entire list.
I don't know. I got to ask Diddy when he gets out of jail.
Well, Barrett, he was not sex trafficking, apparently.
No, he was trafficking for prostitution was what he was found guilty of. You know, I'm just trying to play a devil's advocate in this, but if there was no client list, then what were these people being serviced for? Because the client list was the part of the testimony and all of that was based on the fact that they were being provided to Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Like that was the whole thing. It was sort of, and honestly,
it's probably some eyes wide shut kind of shit, dude.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't disagree, but it really makes me question, and not really, because we know we're being lied to. Like,
we're definitely being lied to.
There was a client list. Like, Donald Trump wouldn't be in Jeffrey Epstein's little black book 14 times if there wasn't some need to call every single number until he got him on the phone.
I'm sure there was some kind of list, but to the degree that the maggots are wanting,
freaking out, yeah,
I don't think that ever existed. And I do think that it might have been, let's call it a short list. There was one gold-haired, fat, tubby piece of orange shit on it more than once. They were, probably. Dude, they were dogs. were.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me how up until this point, you had so many people in the support side for Donald Trump, you know, disavowing any potential link between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. But everyone wanted that list because I think that what they suspected was that we'd see names like Clinton and Obama. And, you know, like they wanted to see those names. So they wanted it released, never considering just how detrimental it would be for Donald Trump's name to appear on that list. And now that they don't get the satisfaction of seeing a whole list of Democrats that they adamantly hate, that they want to see taken down in the most gratuitous way, I think that's where their anger comes from. And they're disappointed now in the fact that Donald Trump that the Department of Justice has now covered it up and Donald Trump's allowing the Department. Like, ultimately, Pam Bondi's just trying to protect her boss, her daddy. And that's what she's trying to do.
What's his name? Cash Patel? Cash Patel,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. That
dude,
that
him and that lunatic, another like angry bald Italian guy. That's like them finding out. Look at their faces, and especially that bald dude. I cannot remember his name.
Dan Bonagino.
Something.
He's not related to Bono at YouTube. That's all I know.
Look at him. I think he is so freaking distraught. Because there is no list. And he's like, oh, his conspiracy theory third eye is just killing him. And he's like,
yeah,
there's no list.
Oh, and
Cass Patel's just sitting there like, can't believe there's no list.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep it.
The two of them, they're probably not going to orgasm for a year. I mean, until they get this, until, but they know, like, you know, then we had Elon Musk come out and he's like, hey, you know, here, I'm going to drop the bomb right here. Donald Trump's on the client, you know, Donald Trump's on Elon Musk.
Yeah, but that's low hanging fruit, right?
Oh, for sure.
That's the easiest, like,
yeah.
Duh. Like, the dartboard would have been full of one man's face if we were throwing them blind. Like, you know what? This has rattled Donald Trump so much because knowing that if there's a list, he is on it 100%. That's like a number one suspect.
Yeah.
But what it's rattled him so freaking hard that he has defaulted to like reset mode. I'm going to attack Rosie O'Donnell again and threaten to deport an American citizen and invoke her citizenship. And then he reset to the point where he's like, what was the other thing he was bitching about? It was just like a complete reset. It was the Rosie O'Donnell and the, oh, well, the heart failure that's kicking in where they're covering up bruises on his hands and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's having a complete, there was one other thing and I cannot think of it, but Rosie O'Donnell, that's a complete reset. That's like, he's like my first enemy.
There's, yeah, I have to chalk a lot of the stuff up that, you know, I see the pictures of his hand. I see the videos of his hand where they're clearly putting makeup over the bruises. I don't know what the bruises indicate. Somebody with a medical background would have to indicate, would have to disclose that or tell me exactly what it is I'm seeing.
Well,
I
haven't ankles even, being wider than his entire foot.
Yeah. The ankles thing is like, just find some shoes that fit. Ultimately, like, that's what I look at. I'm like, why are you wearing such tight socks? Like, just loosen it up a little bit. You're the president.
I have very large feet.
And but he doesn't even wear ties sometimes. Like, because when he wears ties, it pulls his neck into that weird
the vagina.
Yeah, the vagina thing on his neck. I you know, like, he's aware of these things, but like, and then we found out at the FIFA championship trophy thing, like, I saw a video and I haven't seen any follow up to it, but I saw a video that said that he left with the team's trophy and that there what? Was, yeah, I saw, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying I saw a video where someone said that he left with that big round trophy and that he suggested that the team just get a replica. There's a video of him pocketing one of the medals. Like this is this. It screams dementia. To me, it screams someone whose brain is eating itself. I did a whole TikTok video talking to somebody about the fact that everything that I see, and I get it, I am not a medical doctor. I am not a diagnostician. I don't have that background. But I do have the experience of seeing people go through Alzheimer's. I've seen people with dementia, like close, and it's devastating. But there's so much. Yeah, for sure. Zach, too. But like, there is so much that Donald Trump, like the symptoms that I see, they are so alike to what I've seen before. Like the spurts of anger. The different stories or the repeating of stories and things like that. These are all telltale signs and symptoms of a man who has fallen apart. And it's because his brain, in my opinion, is literally eating itself.
I hope so.
It's the worst meal it's ever had. And he eats a lot of shit, but
well, it's the smallest meal it's ever had.
and I'm assuming kind of like a koala, not a lot of ridges. It's
really smooth.
It's very smooth. Donald Trump, smoothest brain on the planet.
the smoothest. Yeah.
I'm just the reaction from MAGA, and it's hard to keep up with if I'm being honest, because I'll get one article that comes across to me where it says Mike Johnson is in line with Donald Trump and he's not going to ask for Maxwell to appear before Congress. They're not going to subpoena her.
She's got to look great.
I saw a video of her jogging around the prison recently, like really? Within the last, yeah. But then, and again, as of this recording, then Mike Johnson said he would not subpoena her, but he would encourage the Department of Justice to go ahead and release the documents, like release everything that they have.
We told you we don't have this. Like, we don't. He's like, well, we're not going to let Jeanine out, but
we've never let that stop us before.
Get in there and make some shit up and make sure DT is right at the top.
Yeah, but see, Donald Trump is also doing this back and forth thing. Like he said, I believe Pam Bondi that the documents don't exist. Oh, but the documents were created by the Democrats to make the Republicans look bad.
Yeah, oh, that's the other thing he did. He went back to he was like, Pizzagate, you know what? The list is Obama. That's Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
That's like, he went way back. He just was like default mode. Fuck Rosie O'Donnell. Democrats did the list.
Yeah. So like there is nowhere for the truth to fall. Like it's so all over the place. And I have such a hard time keeping up with it because like I said, the article about Mike Johnson saying that he's in line, that he doesn't think he believes that Pam Bondi, that there is no client list. Then he says that that if there is no client list, he does not want Maxwell, that he will not sign off on a subpoenaing Ghislaine Maxwell to come speak before Congress. But, oh, Pam Bondi should just go ahead and release everything they have. You're confusing people, Mini Mike.
Trump's on the phone right now going, can we get the rope guy that got Jeff? And get him in that women's prison.
I got to tell you, I told somebody before, like recently, I think that the likelihood is that if she actually did say that she was willing to come speak before Congress, I think that it is very likely that she would find the same fate as Elle Epstein. Like there's going to be a minute. That's the other thing.
Can you imagine? Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, the video of outside of his cell, like people have gone into the metadata of that video because they released the video. They didn't just show the video.
Yeah, with
they
the released few minutes the video. And 43 yeah. seconds. Yeah.
It was clearly manipulated through Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Premiere. Like the metadata indicates it. And even in the metadata, it indicates that there's more than 2 minutes missing out of the video, not a minute. And it's like, you know, the fact that they know that or that they were willing to tell everyone in a cabinet meeting that the Federal Bureau of Prisons is fully aware that their systems are so old that they have to reset them every night and it takes a full minute. The fact that you would release that, it's almost like a calling card to some assassin that would want to get in there and do something. Like the Mexican cartel was like, all right, 11:50. Okay, terrible impression. 11:59 p.m. That's when our guys go in. They do their work. They come out. We have a full minute. Are you kidding me?
Well, listen, the saddest thing is like boomers got their conspiracy of their generation was like JFK. Like who killed him?
Right.
Lee Harvey Oswald. No, we have the mysterious case of the dead pedo and his list of deviants.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And wait until Oliver Stone gets a hold of it. Even he can't put like pizzazz on it. Like it's not fucking Occam's razor. I implore everyone just to apply Occam's razor. There was no fucking list. He sold this so hard to get elected and they were left with a bucket okay. with a few pieces, drops of water, pieces of information in it. And it's so freaking hilarious to me.
See, I think when it comes to Occam's razor, the most likely set of events is Donald Trump's name is on the list and they are so desperate to not release that. And I don't think they know how to edit it in a way that would make it look like he was never on the list. Like, try and undo the last 30 years.
I think it's a hair thin line. I do get where you come from.
Yeah. But like, I think they're so desperate to make sure that he is not included I mean, he literally called his best friend for like 10 years, admitted by Jeffrey Epstein in court documents that Donald Trump was his closest friend and he was Donald Trump's closest friend for more than a decade, I think that they try to put as much distance as possible. And Donald Trump stuck his foot out by saying, we're still talking about Epstein, that creep, like he tagged it. And I think that was his attempt to try and separate himself. Like, he doesn't consider Jeffrey Epstein to be one of his closest friends.
Yeah, so, like, that distance, even in his voice that he puts between him and Epstein.
Yeah. It's false. I think the simplest explanation of everything that's going on is the administration and the Department of Justice are so desperate to try and put distance between Epstein and Trump that they are stepping all over their dongs the entire way. And that's why we're at where we're at. But, you know,
also he put everyone who believed there was a list in charge.
That's right. You're not wrong. I think that I think the likelihood is there was a list. And I think that the reason Jeffrey Epstein was keeping a list was because it was a blackmail list. I think this was a list of his clients that he planned on blackmailing or at least keeping them in line. And he may have potentially saw it as a way to get Donald Trump elected in 2016. You all allow for him to become the Republican nominee. And I won't tell people, I will not release information about the fact that, whoever was on the island, Hillary Clinton will secede. Hillary Clinton will drop out. You know, Donald Trump will win. She'll give her concession speech to protect Bill because he's on. You know, these are the things that I think was the reason there is a client list. And Jeffrey Epstein is definitely the type of guy that would keep a list of that so that he could. This was a guy that had nothing. Like, he went to school. He was a no name, you know, like stock bond trader, hedge fund guy. And he very quickly rose higher and higher. And I think he was probably black. I am of the belief that he was blackmailing people. And this is what we see is the culmination of all of the people that he had information to either blackmail or was blackmailing or could blackmail. Like, this, I feel like I'm saying, I feel like
you even got
I'm
like Stephen Hawking out there.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking was on a flight.
Yeah. Like, and that's a dude who loved his strip clubs. I love his scientific mind, but you're like, fucking the black hole you're in and you're not getting out of now, Stephen, and posterity is the fucking island, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Will he go? So, okay. So 200, 300 years from now, we know, theories that Stephen Hawking has provided. Do you think, and let's say all of them are proven right, that the Stephen Hawking was a genius that was seeing beyond his time. And do you think that the history of him having potentially participated in acts with underage with children, do you think that tarnishes him in the history books?
I wouldn't even say it was children. It was probably, you know, sex slaves of some sort.
Yeah.
But science people can be weird, dude. I mean, I think you're still going to have, like, man, the guy had good science. He was a bit of a creep, even though he couldn't move all that much. Then you think of Einstein, he, like, married his cousin. You're just like, none of this is great.
But it's not relative. The importance of it doesn't line up with.
They said that Bill Gates went, right? There's corroborated evidence back in the day that Bill Gates was paying strippers to put their clothes back on.
His ex-wife has acknowledged that Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein had a close relationship and that Bill did go to the islands. You know, she admitted that it's one of the things that probably caused their marriage to fall apart was his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And she acknowledged
that it was creepy.
But
there's people who will tell you that were there that, like, Bill Gates paid strippers to put their clothes back on.
Yeah.
So where does this guy stand? What happened? Why did he go there? What is it about the people who were like, I was there for the snorkeling?
Well, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Where he's admitting that he's like, okay, here's the thing. I was on Epstein's Island, but I was just there for the snorkeling. I didn't know about all the kids stuff. He did say that, didn't he? I love the fact that show is back.
Yes.
And the first episode, have you seen it yet? Have you seen the season? First episode, they do the documentary style that they do with Abbott Elementary. It's a television show. Yeah.
Well, is that the one where they're like, damn it, Fallout Boy?
Yeah, because they were redoing Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, but then found out that through the course of that Fallout Boy also did an updated version of that. They were trying to do a newer updated version of it. It was fantastic.
Every time it's Fallout Boy. Goddamn Fallout Boy. Yeah.
It's just fantastic. I think Rob McElhenney he's still McElhenney. I probably can't spell it right the first time, but you know, I can at least pronounce it.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's hilarious though. Him and Wrexham, the Welcome to Wrexham show. Like the stuff that they're doing is just fantastic. I will be fully transparent. I will watch Welcome to Wrexham and some of the segment stories that they do as part of the greater story. Is they'll talk about like some of the fans and the things that the fans are going through. Yeah. And at the end of this season, they did a segment with a child who was going through cancer that basically at a very, very early age was diagnosed with this aggressive form of cancer and was going through treatments. And Rob McElhenney walking him out onto the pitch, because if you know anything about soccer, which I know very little, I know that the pitch, when it's not being played on, is basically sacred ground. Like you don't just get to walk out there. And McElhenney took the kid out onto the pitch and let him kick a ball into the goal, which is, you know, it's unheard of. But like,
yeah, but that's some soccer dork saying that.
Well, probably.
It's sacred ground. Don't let the kid kick the goal.
We'd have to ask Zach Boyd once we get him on. To talk about you know, things that might have come to pass.
We'll see if Stone Stadium is sacred ground when no one's playing foosy ball on it.
The pitch. You can still walk around on the field, just you can't go onto the pitch. You can't go onto the playing
field. Pitch is the field.
Yeah, but you can walk around it. You can walk on. That's one of those things I've heard. But please leave a comment. If you know what I'm talking about or what Zach's talking about, validate one of us or validate both of us. I know how the internet works. Shane lets people walk all over that football field. Like you've been there. Everybody gets to walk on that field. There's nothing sacred about it.
I haven't been on the field. I have an in to the field. So that it might be happening soon.
I've thrown a football around on the field. Sorry. It's not even my team.
They let anybody on that field.
That's what I'm saying. They let anybody on there. There's nothing. Anyway. So you have not listened to the episode. I guess by the time you hear this or you've Zach, by the time, this episode comes out, you will have seen Superman.
I got 30 minutes left of it.
Bill was very aggressive.
Bill had like the worst takes about Superman.
So of what you've seen so far, I am going to assume you disagree with Bill's takes on Superman.
Dude, I'm not a Superman fan, and now I am so far. Like, I think that David I can't remember his last name, how you say it, but I think he is fantastic. I think James Gunn nailed it because James Gunn nails it. Like, there's nothing bad about it. And I love that Crypto is exactly how a dog should be. Superman does not like the dog. He's like, he's not even a good dog. Like, I thought that was hysterical. Like, I think it's fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic's like, you brought the fucking dog?
Yeah. You brought your goddamn dog? Because he was eating this little worms. Yeah, that was... It was great, even like not to ruin a whole bunch of stuff, but like
spoil what you've seen.
When Superman gets held up in the prison for a minute, and the guy's like, "You can rescue my kid," and he's holding like the Superman
kryptonite,
the kryptonite that he makes, and then he's like, "I can't make a sun, but I can make something like the sun." And damn if he didn't. But he's sitting there and thinking of all the elements that the sun takes to make while he's like doing it.
I was dumb. The only thing that I thought was weird writing was in that moment, the number of people that were in cells all around him, including like Lex Luthor's ex-girlfriends. And
if he's like, that petty, imagine who's in
the cells. Yeah. So, but like all of them around them were like, don't do that. You'll get caught. We'll get caught and then we'll get killed. And then they all try to sound the alarm. And I'm like, there is a river of plasma running down below there. The amount of noise that, cause like, if we could hear what the sun sounds like, we'd all be deaf. Like,
yeah, it'd
be
deafening.
Yeah. So you have to assume that a river of plasma creates some friction and makes some noise. Like there's
didn't eat Superman up.
I will just say this. I thought that it was a James Gunn movie. Like it felt like a James Gunn movie. And you know, what was your opinion about the Kents?
Like the dad had like dementia or something. So, cause he wasn't making any sense. Like he was like, I'm so goddamn proud.
When you go back and you listen to the episode that Bill and I, Kimmler and I did on July 10th, July 15th. So the kind of daily show we did on July 15th, we were talking about Superman. Also, don't take anything personally that I said about you. But I simply stated that if it came down, if you had a Sophie's choice of DC versus your family, obviously DC is going to win. Anyway, but in that discussion, I asked Bill, I said, did you feel like maybe Ma and Pa Kent, maybe somewhere very close, maybe inside the house or somewhere on the farm, there was a nurse there that was assigned to take care of them?
Dude, there had to be. The mom was like old as hell, but like spry. But the dad was like,
That's what it felt like.
Like when they brought him in and set him on his like childhood bed, which also weird.
Why does he still fit on his childhood bed? Like his feet didn't hang off the end. That is obviously not a California twin.
Right. But he's like, is my boy gonna be okay? And the mom's instantly like, he just a fucking crybaby.
It felt weird.
Like maybe that's like James Gunn's weakness. He's like, I don't know how old people do stuff.
We know how he does parents when they're villains, because we had Kurt Russell as Ego the Living Planet. Yeah, but exactly. That was probably the biggest part of the movie that didn't make sense to me was this.
They're weird old, right? They're in the theater. They're weird old, right? Anybody else?
But that was the thing I asked Bill. I was like, did you feel like maybe there was supposed to be a nurse just off camera?
Dude, my grandfather's 87. That's more fucking sense than those two.
I thought it was a good superhero movie.
I'm not done with the whole.
No, please continue.
I can just see like they're laying Kent down and Lois has a recorder and she's like, Clark, we got to talk about what the fuck your parents are doing alone.
So when she brought him to the farm and they put him in the bed. Also, why is the Man of Steel so light? I would have to believe he's heavy, but okay.
Wait, who carried him?
It was her and the dad, I think. Like, it was Lois Lane and Pa Kent, right? I don't know. I may have to go back and watch that part.
We're footing it, hand and ankle and wrist in him, just like, yeah, but the dad's like, I got fucking dementia.
That's not what we used to call it when I was a kid.
Well, dude, I do gotta run.
Well, yeah,
We'll leave them with that. Go see Superman. Fantastic movie. Weird.
Yeah, old. I'm looking forward to Fantastic Four. I think that's going to be fun. I've already got my ticket for that, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll have to do a review. It
was kind of spoiled a little.
You know what, though? We all know Fantastic Four story. Like,
yeah, but with Galactus and the price was too high, if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did not appreciate that trailer.
But, you know, there was in one of the comic book stories, like, their son takes Galactus's place because Reed Richards kills Galactus. But in order to maintain the complexities of the universe, you have to replace Galactus. So that was the sacrifice.
I was never a Fantastic Four fan, and I hope this movie changes my opinion like Superman did.
I do love Pedro Pascal. I wish that he would take a vacation, though. Like,
he is not why I quit watching The Last of Us.
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't know you quit watching it. All right. We'll discuss that in another episode. On that bombshell, we're going to wrap it up. That's it. It's going to be it for episode 265. Zach, thanks for being here. Hope you've had a good week and you continue to have a good week. Links to all of our past episodes, podcast platforms, merchandise, and social media are available at our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com. And if you think our financial model of giving away free content and entertainment is silly and you're in the giving mood, why not become an official Nothinger and support the show? Members get early access to this episode as well as exclusive content. Visit members.theallaboutnothing.com. You can find a link on our webpage. You can also give us a one-time donation through the same link. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can call and leave us a message, 803-672-0533. You can email the show at theallaboutnothing.com. You can join our Discord server as well. Links found on our webpage. Thank you for listening, watching, everybody. You all stay safe, be kind, and
keep your hands to yourself.
The All About Nothing podcast is a product of Big Media and produced and engineered by me, Barrett Gruber. Thanks to Cake for our intro music, Sick of You. You can follow everything Cake the band at cakemusic.com. Thanks to Muff the producer for our outro music. You can follow Muff on Instagram at Muff the producer. You can follow me across social media by visiting Linktree/Barrett Gruber, and you can follow Zach King on Linktree/AANZach. Want to support the show? Visit our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com, and become a member. There are several tiers available that give you early access to episodes as well as exclusive content. To find links to our social media, podcast platforms, and merchandise to support the show, as well as past episodes, visit theallaboutnothing.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can email theshow@theallaboutnothing.com, or you can call our number and leave a message. Dial 803-672-0533. If the time between these episodes is more than you can handle, check out our sister shows. What the Pod Was That with Carrie, Zach, and myself. Welcome to Wonderland with Ami. Politically Speaking with Erica, Kirsten, and Emily. And Black, White, and Blue in the South with Dr. Jamil Brooks and Bill Kimmler. Please subscribe and share this show. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe and punch that notification bell. Thank you for listening and hear us next week. The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media, LLC, and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved. Hey, everybody, it's Bear from the All About Nothing podcast. Make sure to mark your calendars. The 10th Masters of Putt-Putt tees off Friday, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park from 6:30 to 8:15. Teams of three or more dressed in themed outfits. They will battle for glory and prizes. Register your team by August 21st and don't be late. Putting starts at 6:45 sharp. Check out everplaysocial.com for more details. Everplay Social's 10th Masters of Putt-Putt. Again, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park in Columbia. Get ready, Columbia. Soda City Comic Con 2025 is turning up the heat this summer. It all goes down August 23rd and 24th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, and the guest lineup is already packed with fan favorites. Let's start with Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica and Bo-Katan Kreese from The Mandalorian and Clone Wars. She's a sci-fi icon and one of the coolest people to ever wield a blaster. Then there's John Heder, the man, the myth, the Napoleon Dynamite. From Blades of Glory to Surf's Up and everything awkwardly hilarious in between, he's bringing the signature charm to Soda City. And rounding it out, we've got Caitlin Robrock, the incredible voice of Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Minnie's Bowtie Tunes, and many more. She's also voiced characters in Agrisuko, Amphibia, and Mr. Pickles, a true animation powerhouse. They'll all be there, signing autographs, taking selfies, and meeting fans all weekend long. And this is just the beginning. Even more celebrity guests are being announced. So keep checking SodaCityComicCon.com for the latest updates, guest lists, ticket info, and VIP perks. Make your summer unforgettable. Grab those tickets and come celebrate all things pop culture at Soda City Comic Con.